Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you all. Welcome to Salt Church. My name's Mike. I'm the pastor here at Salt. Great that you're here with us this weekend. It's a cracking day outside. But we're in here together rejoicing in the God who made today and made us, that we might be his people and that we can delight in him. We're in the second talk in our series on Christian leadership. And this morning we're in Mark 8:31. So if you've got your Bible there, it'd be good to keep that open. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, and then we're going to dive into this morning's talk, our second in our series. Let's pray. Our great Father and our God, we want to give you thanks that this is the day that you have made, and so we rejoice and we are glad in it. And we pray that as we meet together this morning, you'd speak with us about what it means not only to be followers of the Lord Jesus, but what it might mean to lead others in that as well. We want to thank you for the very clear example of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for those who've gone before us as well. And we pray now that as we call to mind the examples, the models of the Christian faith that we've experienced, would you help us to have our hearts filled with thankfulness, that we might delight in knowing that you are with us. Please help me to speak now in a way that's faithful and clear, for we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the 20th century American essay writer Ralph Waldo Emerson who famously wrote, "It's not the destination, it's the journey." Which sounds like something you'd say to your kids in the backseat of a car on a long road trip, constantly fighting and continually asking, "Are we there yet?" It's the kind of cheesy saying you'd find written on an overpriced Bon Voyage card from Hallmark. But we don't believe it for a second, do we? It's always about the destination, the end result, the final product, the big reveal, the ultimate outcome. Where are you going is always a more interesting question than how are you getting there? We all might be going somewhere, but it's the somewhere that we're firmly fixated upon, which is why Australian TV shows about travel are never really about travel, are they? It's always about the destination, what there is to do in this next exotic location. So they're not really travel shows, they're more destination shows. I mean, think about it. You never see episodes of the travel guides sitting on an aeroplane for umpteen hours. Tonight on Travel Guides, the friend family does 14 hours in economy, while Kevin and Jeanette complain about being in first class. The show is always about the destination, what to do, where to go, what to expect, what's it like, how much is it going to cost. They edit out all the bits about travel. They take out the journey altogether. And some Christians are like that too, more about the destination than the journey. But Jesus invites us on a journey. He calls us, each one of us, to follow him. And instead of focusing on what Jesus is doing now, instead of setting our sights on following him, we're more concerned with the final destination, reaching the exotic location of heaven. What will we do there? What to expect? What's it going to be like? We're more focused on the end result, the final product, the big reveal, the ultimate outcome, than taking our next steps as followers and disciples of Christ and keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. But travel guides are essential for the journey. We need experienced companions with us, someone who knows the way, who shows the way, who goes the way with us. Someone who will cheer us on, someone travelling the same road that we're on, someone who can help keep us stay on track. We need someone on the way with us who will keep moving us in the right direction, not just focusing on the ultimate destination, but fixing our eyes now on the one we're called to follow. We need models, examples, companions, travel guides. Friends, we need leaders. But not the type of leadership that the world offers. Not the kind of structures that the world has recently imbibed. We're in a series together on Christian leadership because our church is needing some new elders we're looking to add to our session. This series is called Pillars in the Temple, and these talks are designed to fuel our thinking and our conversations together, conversations about the kind of leaders that we want leading us here at Salt Church. Last week, if you were here with us, we looked at the idea of leader as servant, A leader is someone who moves from self-serving to serving others. But this morning, we're in our series on leadership, we're considering the idea of leader as model. A leader is someone who moves from self-promotion to promoting others. And we're back in Mark's Gospel this morning, and we're on our way up to Jerusalem with Jesus. Jesus invites us on a journey with him, not simply to an ultimate and exotic location. We're on a journey now with Jesus. Being a Christ follower means we follow Christ. Not skipping over all the travelling bits just so that we can reach the ultimate destination. The travelling bit is the bit. This is the bit that we're all on now together. And you might wish that you were somewhere else, somewhere further along than where you really are, someplace different to the place that you're in right now. But here we are in this place together. And God uses people, circumstances, and events. God uses the everyday of life to disciple us. When it comes to following Jesus, it's about the journey, friends, not just the destination. And Jesus invites us to follow him on a journey. Would you see it with me? Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Friends, this is the way of Jesus. This is where Jesus is now headed. It's the first of 3 occasions in Mark's Gospel where Jesus predicts his death. And every time I read these words about Jesus, these words from Jesus, honestly, I think to myself, nah, no thanks. That doesn't sound like a place that I want to go to. Doesn't sound like a place I'd like to be. Not something I want to do. Kind of like when Corinne asks me if I want to go and visit her parents. Or if I want to come shopping with her at Aldi. Nah. No thanks. I can think of other places I'd rather be. Almost anywhere else sounds better than that. It's a similar kind of reaction for me. But Jesus is now teaching his disciples that this is the direction that they're now going in. So far, the journey's been a little bit bumpy. But it's about to take a sudden turn for the worst. The road that we're now on, says Jesus, is the road that leads to death. It is filled with suffering, misunderstanding, and rejection. But this is the only way to resurrection. It's the only road leading to everlasting life. I'm going and you're coming with me. Okay, this is where we're all going. Have you got any questions? I mean, Jesus couldn't have been any more clearer, could he? He couldn't have said it any more simply for them. He dumbed it down enough so that they'd get it. And Mark even makes that point there in verse 32. See it there? He spoke plainly about this. Plainly, simply, clearly, openly, quite open. There's no confusion. There should be no misunderstandings. And just so there isn't any confusion now amongst us either, are we all clear on this? You do realize this is where we're going, right? This is what you signed up for when you signed up to follow Jesus. Just so we're all clear, you realize this is what we're doing here together now, right? If you say you're a Christ follower, that means you're following Christ. And so this is the way of Jesus, the road through life that you're now traveling on. I just want us to be very clear about that together because Jesus wanted to make it plain as well. Suffering, misunderstanding, and rejection death before resurrection and glory. Are we all clear? And if Jesus is the Messiah, as Peter has just declared there in verse 29, then this is the journey that he's now taking them on as well. Suffering, misunderstanding, rejection, this then is the road that leads to the cross. It's the same road for those who would follow, verse 34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. See those words there? Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, losing our life, following Jesus. It is the road less travelled. It is the way of Jesus. Can't go any other way. Can't divert around it. Can't take another route. But when Peter rebukes Jesus, that's exactly what Peter is trying to do. Because like many of us, like many church leaders today, Paul wants the destination without the journey. Sorry, Peter wants the destination without the journey. Glory without suffering. Heaven without rejection. Resurrection without death. You see, Peter's all on board for the destination, but he desires a very different destiny. He wants to skip over all the travelling bits and arrive safely in the promised location. Peter wants a different Messiah to the one on offer. Peter wants something else. He wants something different. And Jesus knows exactly what he's got in mind. Verse 33, when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Now, they might sound like harsh words to you. They do to me. Maybe you're surprised to hear Jesus say them too. "Get behind me, Satan." Very briefly, friends, it's not that Jesus thinks that Peter is Satan or that somehow Peter has just morphed into the devil mid-sentence. Jesus is saying Peter is aligning with the devil. That Peter wants things different to what God has planned. These are the concerns of men. The things of men. And all of us are faced with these things too. All of these things concern us. Peter wanted the destination without the journey. And Paul the Apostle wanted to make the journey all about himself. See that with me, won't you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. "If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless." The things of men. Paul boasts about his achievements. He takes pride in his accomplishments. Paul compares himself favorably against others, and he always comes out on top. Paul's got the right heritage, he's done all the right things. Paul's even in with the right crowd. See it there, he's an Israelite, a Benjamite, a Hebrew and a Pharisee. A law-based zealot who is faultless in righteousness. I mean, it's an impressive resume, right? It sounds impressive because it's meant to. He went to all the right places, knows all the right people, did all the right things. But putting confidence in our own abilities and placing our confidence in the abilities of others is to have in mind the things of men. These are the concerns of men. They are not the concerns of God. And when it comes to selecting leaders in the church, appointing people to leadership roles and positions, these are the things that we're most concerned with. I've been involved in denominational leadership at the highest level here in Queensland. I've been in meetings, interviews, and on selection panels for people being considered for ministry positions of all sorts across our state. And I say that not to impress anybody, but simply to make this very basic point. We're more concerned about the things of men than we are about the things of God. There's currently a young man on extended probation because those in charge are delaying his ordination. He's done his 4 years of study, been through the whole training process, but someone's holding him back from a position of leadership because he didn't make a good first impression. Whenever I've applied for a ministry position anywhere, those interviewing me want to know, Where did I go to Bible college? Do I know the same people that they do? Do I think the same way as them? But before Paul was confronted by Christ, before Jesus called Paul to come and follow him, this was the game that Paul was playing too. It's all about impression. But when Paul met Jesus, Paul saw all this stuff for what it really is. And you can see it now for yourself as well. Philippians 3 verse 7, the words on the screen behind me. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. No longer chasing gains, Paul's already swollen up. Everything that was considered a profit has now been turned into a loss. Paul says it's garbage, useless or undesirable material that is subject to disposal. Excrement, manure, garbage, kitchen scraps, tofu. Paul is leaving behind the concerns of the world and worldly concerns. He's no longer interested in the things of men. Now he is in pursuit of the risen Lord Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 10, see it with me. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul has in mind the things of God. Hear the words of Jesus again, Mark chapter 8, verse 31. You still got it in front of you? The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. You see, Paul now wants the very things that Peter was trying to avoid. To know Christ and to follow him. To follow him in his suffering, in his death, and his resurrection, that is the way of Jesus. That's the truth that Paul now believes. That's the life that Paul now lives. Not having a righteousness of his own, but to be found in Jesus. Paul's deepest desires are not the things of men. Not comfort, not achievement, not success, not fame or fortune, not aesthetics or budgets, not charts, not graphs, not metrics or impressions, not bigger, better, faster, stronger and up and to the right, not more likes, not more friends, not more followers. Paul's deepest desire are the things of God. Participating in Christ's sufferings. Becoming like Jesus in his death. Knowing the power of his resurrection. Paul desires to live the way of Jesus. And that's what makes Paul a great leader. He's on the journey with Jesus. He's going the distance with him, leaving behind the concerns of the world, forgetting about the things of men. Paul presses on towards the destination. He strains towards the prize that lies ahead, but he strains now. And he presses on now. He doesn't just edit it out and skip over the bits to get to the great destination. Paul is not a destination guide. Look there, chapter 3, verse 17. The words here on the screen again behind me. Join together, says Paul, in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Philippians 3:17, mark it down somewhere. Paul is a traveling companion with us. He is a tour guide as a fellow traveler and fellow follower. He's an example of how we're to live. He's a model for us to base our lives on. That's what a leader is. Leaders lead others by following Jesus. He knows the way. He shows the way. He goes the way. Suffering, misunderstanding, and rejection, Paul's life is marked with it as you read his letters to the churches. And if you're in pursuit of Jesus, then you won't be unfamiliar with these things either. Suffering, misunderstanding and rejection, it goes with the territory. Listen to me, remember death before glorious resurrection. Friends, this is the road less travelled. This is the narrow path found only by a few. Can't go any other way, can't divert around it, can't take another route. Following Jesus in the everyday decisions of life, step by step and moment by moment, not looking for immediate success, not looking for instant glory, not looking for anything else at all. This is the long obedience in the same direction. It's about the journey, not the destination. And Paul is fully in pursuit of Jesus. He has only in mind the things of God. Live as they do, says Paul. Keep your eyes on these people, because that's who we're looking for now too. We're looking for those who live as examples amongst us. When we consider the kind of leaders that we want here at Salt Church, this is what we need to be considering together. Because in the kingdom of God, only followers ever make good leaders. We need people that we can all keep our eye on. Travelling companions, examples, models, reference points, people who will show us how to live a life for Jesus by living the life themselves. Will you pray with me? And suddenly the bar has just been raised enormously, Lord Jesus, that we would live as examples, that we would live as models of the gospel, people who are in pursuit of the Lord Jesus, who are familiar with misunderstandings and sufferings and rejection, who do not have in mind the things of men but the things of God. Would you help us all to be people like that? A church full of followers who lead by example to others. And would you raise up from amongst us those who are doing that now? Reference points for us, examples, models, people that we can all keep an eye on to know how to live, because they are demonstrating what it means to be followers amongst us. Help us to be that kind of church, Lord Jesus, where we're in pursuit of you relentlessly, not just hoping out and holding out for the final destination, which will be glorious, but to know where we are right now is on a journey, and to know how to take the next step in our discipleship, because we're being encouraged and supported, and it's being modeled to us how to live as Christ followers. Please give us the wisdom to see those who are doing that amongst us, to rejoice and delight, and to follow them as they follow Christ. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.